It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and I surely do appreciate everyone getting up early on a Saturday morning and listening to our outdoor show that we've been doing right at 8 years now. I will advise everybody, remind you, that you can go anytime to KETR.org and look under local programs, and you can listen to the archive of this show and shows we did 6 or 7 years ago. They're all archived right there at KETR, which is an awesome source. You might have a topic like hunting bear or whatever, you know, fishing for stripers at Texoma that you're interested in. Well, go back to KETR.org and local programs and pick out a show that you might enjoy. You know, an awesome show that's special to me is one I did a few years ago with Joaquin Jackson, the famous Texas Ranger. Joaquin passed away, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago, but that audio has become pretty special to a lot of people. You can go back there and listen to Joaquin talk about the wild days down in Mexico when he was tracking fugitives down into south of the border and things like that. A lot of good stuff there on the archive for sure. You know, occasionally I do a show what I call just solo with you instead of having a guest. And I thought this might be a good day for that. Kind of tell you what's going on with me in the outdoors and maybe give you a tip or two that might help you. You know, this time every August, I get busy. It's actually the busiest time of my year. The latter part of this month, in about a week, we'll be having, actually a week from today, I think it is, we'll start our first elk hunt, elk and bear hunts up north of Steamboat Springs. And in that, during that about 20 days I'm gone from home, we have hunters in our camp up there. There'll be 6 hunters the first 5 days. And we have a couple of days off, and we have 6 more hunters in bow hunting, you know, for mostly for elk. There's a few of them always want to hunt the bear, which there's quite a few. Actually, some years there's lots of bear, maybe too many bear in that area. It's about, I'd guess, 15 miles northwest of Steamboat, northern Colorado, about 60 miles from the Wyoming border. It's pretty wild country up there, and the ranch we hunt, we lease a ranch up there, and we have a cabin. Really, the rancher has a really nice cabin. No power, you know, we use solar power and generators to keep things going up there. But that's happening, and in preparation for that, I've got myself into a routine a few years ago. I started making about 25 pounds of ground pork, turning it into breakfast sausage, and then curing about the same amount of ham and then smoking that ham. And I'll tell you what, our hunters up there now, I better not show up without it. It's really good eating, but it's economical. You can make, I usually go to catch the pork on sale. A lot of times the big Hispanic grocery stores, you can buy some. I bought some end pork chops for 89 cents a pound here a week or two ago at one of those places. And, bone out the bones and run it through about the 3/8 inch plate on your grinder and get you some seasoning. I always order the seasoning, Butcher Packer Supply, and for about $6 and 89 cents a pound, you know, you can make some awesome breakfast sausage. If you like it a little hot, well, you can order the hot type from Butcher Packer or, you know, Mile. They have all kinds for, I think, around $6. Pretty reasonable, and a good way to save a lot of money on breakfast sausage. And there's something about turning that breakfast sausage that grinder in the bigger holes, the bigger plates. Usually when you buy pork sausage, you know, it's really fine, almost emulsified at times. But this is really, you know, it's a little bit coarser. It fries up crispy. It's a good way. Next time you make any game sausage, well, make sure you've got to have a little pork fat if you make breakfast sausage, for sure. But you can also mix your venison or, you know, elk, wild hog in there with it. The problem with the game is, if there is a problem, it's just so lean. You've got to buy some pork fat if you're going to make breakfast sausage. It's just a must. So that's what I'm doing. The ham, I just bought some, all this was domestic, by the way. I splurged. No wild ham this time. But I bought, they had the picnic shoulders for, I think, about 99 cents a pound. Then they had some, actually what I believe the cuts were the butt part, which is the shoulder, boneless, kind of butterflied. I made, bought some of that too, rubbed it with the sugar cure, real easy to do. That has the sodium nitrate in it, just enough, just the proper amount to cure the meat. You have to do that if you cold smoke it. We've talked a lot about making ham and sausage, but that's what I've been doing. I've got, actually, I still have about 22 pounds of meat curing in the refrigerator. I'll be putting that in that old Smoking Texas electric smoker here. I'm thinking about 3 days it'll be cured. Only has to stay in there about 7 days. Then it's cured meat. You know, I did an article for the newspapers here. I think it was week before last. The title was Finding Your Way. For years, I was a surveyor. Actually, when I started my writing career, I was running a survey crew. I did that for about 23 years, worked as a surveyor. 24, I guess it was. So, you know, my job was finding property corners, tracts of land, laying out structures, things like that. As the surveyor's job is to find spots on the globe, you know, precisely, and that's what I did for years. I've often been fascinated by navigating, you know, with back in the day before GPS was really popular. You know, you better know how to read a compass or look at the stars, and you better know how to use some simple ways to find yourself, your way in the woods or in the fields at night, especially. Well, a compass, my article was kind of highlighting a compass. A compass is now been around about 2,300 years. The Chinese invented it. Just a lodestone, a natural occurring ore, iron ore that's magnetized, points north. They figured that out about, I think, 2,300 years ago. Well, compasses now are really advanced with, you know, degrees, and they're incremented so you can get angles off of them and everything else. But a compass, folks, you know, will do one thing, only one thing, but it'll do it marvelously, and that is point north. Now, what a lot of people don't understand, that's not really going to help you. If you just know which way north is, unless you can correlate north to objects on the ground or a map, it's not going to help you at all. So I think so many people get hung up. Now, you can take a compass. I can, and I could take any of you with me, and we could teach you to do it in no time if you don't already know. You can take a bearing. Say your bearing from where your starting spot is north 20 degrees east. You can walk that bearing for so many paces, 200 steps, a couple hundred yards, and you can turn another bearing. Say that bearing southeast, you know, a bearing. You can keep track of that and come back to your spot. But that is not what you do in the outdoors. That's, you know, hunting, you're not going to need to be worried about keeping a map, a course as you go. You're going to be looking for sign for deer, hogs, or whatnot. So when you're actually out there hunting, all you need to do is to be able to find north and correlate that to something. Now, say you're on a 10,000 acre big ranch out in West Texas. Okay, well, the rancher drives you back up in there, and this happened to me and my old buddy Bob Hood, the late outdoor writer for the Fort Worth paper once, and it's kind of comical, and I've probably told you this story before. The rancher drove us in the middle of about 11,000 acres turkey hunting, and he said, "Guys, you can find your way back okay with these roads." We must have taken 8 or 10 turns, and me and Bob looked at each other, both of us thinking, could we really find our way out? "Oh, yes, sir, we can get out of here, no problem." Well, the sun set, and Bob and I didn't take any kind of bearings on the roads. I was talking, looking for turkeys and deer when we drove back in there. Neither did Bob. We didn't have a clue where the road was in relation to where we were. Now, north, yeah, we can find north looking at the stars, you know. But we got back in there in the middle of nowhere, and the rancher called. He says, "Luke, we had cell phones at the time. They were just getting popular." He said, "Luke, you're not here. Where are you?" I said, "Well, we're a little bit turned around. My survey training kind of kicked in," because he said, well, any landmarks?" And I said, "Well, there's a feeder, a green feeder by a live oak tree." Well, he said, "That pretty well describes about 30 or 40 feeders we've got going out here on this ranch, and that's not going to help me much." So I thought, I looked way off towards San Angelo, and I could see there's a group of radio towers out there up on a hill. And I said, "Well, I tell you what, can you tell me which direction the road is, or where we are from those radio towers?" He said, "Oh, yeah. The radio towers are just northwest of us, about 20 miles. So he said, "The road runs east and west right there. My road runs east and west." Then I had something to work with, you know. So oriented to the radio towers northwest, and took my degrees around to the east. And he said, "You just find a road that runs to the east and you'll eventually come out." So we did. That's how we found our way out of there. Now, had I took a bearing on that road before I left, before we got back in there, I would have driven right out of there. I might have had to make some wrong turns, you know, back on those old ranch roads, but I would have eventually just come right out where I needed to. Now, we weren't lost. Seriously, we would have found our way out that night, but we were inconvenienced for about an hour trying to find our way out. The North Star, the Polar Star, for all practical purposes, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, it always is north of you. But it honestly does a little tight revolution, not enough to bother us when we're looking for north, but when it's called the upper and lower culmination, when it's in those positions, it is due north. And if you were to shoot it at night with a transit or a theodolite or a surveying instrument, when it was in that position, looking at your charts and all, you can precisely put a mark on the ground that's due north. Otherwise, the astronomers know where it is every minute. So, you know, you could shoot it and figure out exactly where you were. It wouldn't be far off north, but it would be a little bit if it wasn't in the upper and lower culminations. Polaris, how do you find it? Well, you can find the Big Dipper. Look at some charts. You can go online to Google. The Big Dipper, the two stars on the Dipper part of the Big Dipper are the pointer stars. The Polaris, the polar star, is actually the end of the handle of the Little Dipper. Find your Big Dipper, and if you can look at the two pointer stars, they're down at the bottom of the Big Dipper. Five times the distance between those two stars, if you project that out, you'll see Polaris shining bright over there. Polaris is an awesome way. I don't really always find Polaris. I just look up and find a Little Dipper if I'm out in the woods. It's not 30 minutes of angle. You know, it's just a minute distance. I just find the Little Dipper. And then I'm oriented to north. The moon and other stars can help you. You don't need to know precisely where Jupiter or, you know, all those stars are moving a lot more than Polaris. You can just say, okay, I need to head about 2 degrees, 10 degrees, 20 degrees to the right of Polaris. Just some tips, folks. I wish I had a little more time, or we could all get out together. I bet we could all learn some more things about navigating. Make sure and tune in next week, folks. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.